Well, hello and welcome to episode 32 of Hull Seahawks Behind the Curtain. Been another busy week for the Seahawks. Very, very good weekend behind us, and very excited that both Martin's back with us. Been off a couple of weeks, Martin, back on the pod, getting the mugging shot as well, nice and early. Exactly what we like.
Got to be done. Got to be done. It's great to be back as well. Yeah, absolutely. Buzzing.
And we are joined by, I'm going to say, self-proclaimed favourite guest. He's getting the mugging shot, so I'm going to have to agree with him. Jordan McLaughlin, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, boys?
I'm very, very
Spot
good. It's, you know,
on. Spot on, yeah.
Yeah, living the dream.
I say, always good to come off a weekend like that, especially when you're coming into a Yorkshire derby. It's the perfect week to be a Hull hockey fan, we've got to say. I think we're going to have to start only one place. It'll become the elephant in the room if we don't. 2 more years, Jordan.
Yeah, stuck with me for another 2 years, so.
I don't think stuck with you is the word, really.
No, it's good to be back. Obviously, I've loved playing here. I've been here 2 years already, and I've loved every minute of it. So it was a no-brainer for me, kind of staying another two. And obviously, Matty Wads was happy with me and wants to keep me around. So it's works for both of us, and it's just, yeah, it's perfect.
In terms of those 2 years, of course, they've been very different years as well, isn't it? And we spoke to Erwin a few weeks ago, and it was actually just before he'd announced he had re-signed. I don't know if he had already re-signed at that point or not, but he talked about coming into a room that's in a very, very good place right now. And, you know, when you've been on the other side of things and you've seen how it is now, I suppose that just helps you make up your mind.
Yeah, obviously we've touched on it before. We've always kind of had the good room, even though when things weren't going so well last year. But obviously this year we've just kind of added to it. We've added a few obviously great guys within the team, obviously Sobs and Chamberlain and everything like that. So we've just kind of improved and we've added on, and you can kind of see where we're trending. We're just going to go up from here. We're not going to go back the way. So it's just exciting to kind of keep looking forward and seeing what's next.
And in terms of obviously what you've been able to put out there on the ice over the 2 years, there's going to be very, very few Seahawks fans who could be upset with what you've done. You know, it's been stunning performances over the 2 years. Martin, I know that we spoke about this on the pod. You know, you self-proclaimed a year or so ago hockey newbie, and you've come in, and one of the players you've been most impressed with is Geordie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he saves absolutely everything, and like in my opinion, obviously people have other opinions. He's the best netty in our league. You know what I mean? There's no two ways about it. I'm not just saying that because he's here now and all that lot, But no, it's just been absolutely incredible. And like it must be nice as well to see kind of reaping the rewards of what Matty's been saying. Obviously last year was a tough year and stuff, obviously for yourself and the whole team, but obviously to be bouncing back the way we have done this year, Jordy, you must be absolutely buzzing. Cup final in the bag, some great results, confirmed playoffs. It's what you could want when it in the first 2 years of well, their existence effectively.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, for us to be in a cup final in the playoffs and everything like that in our second year is quite something, really. But we've been working hard behind the scenes as a team to kind of be as good as we can be, and obviously we've had some great results in along the way. Obviously, beating Leeds in the play in the semi final, and we obviously beat them in the league as well. And we've had a couple of good games against like MK and Swindon and things like that as well. So yeah, it's been good. There's obviously been some tough nights, but that's just sport. You're gonna get them no matter where you are. But yeah, no, it's been great so far this year, and obviously we've got a lot more to look forward to. It's only going to get more exciting as it gets closer.
I think we'll talk.
I'll pay you a tenner for saying that, Martin. I'm the best goalie in the league. I'll take
Nice.
I think we'll talk a little bit later on about avenging one of those tough nights just this past weekend, actually. But before we move on to that, Jordan, of course, you were on episode two of this podcast, and it was very early goings. We still didn't even have a full roster at that point. I think we'd only announced Emile as an import. The roster was still relatively unknown at that time, and already there was an air of confidence. With what Maddie was saying, and the guys, as you say, were already carried over from that room last year. And pretty much everything that you, the guys, and Matty said at the start of the year had to be true.
Yeah, well, obviously we kind of well, like obviously at the time when we were speaking, we kind of knew what Matty was looking to do with the team, even though it hadn't been announced. But we also kind of, I guess some of the guys that had been there last year also kind of knew that, like, we weren't going to let last year happen again. Do you know what I mean? We're going to come, we're going to be better again. And we knew what was kind of going to improve. Like, we're going to have more players. We're going to have guys that can score goals and help us win games. So we just kind of need to up our levels. And then yeah, it has worked. It's been tough. Like every game in this league is a tough game at the minute. Obviously, like teams like Bristol and Sheffield are struggling, but they're always tough games when you go and play them. So you really have to play at your best pretty much every night to get those points. And I feel like we've done a really good job of that. Obviously, we've had ups and downs, but you know, we've on the whole we've really kind of performed when we've needed to, and got the wins when we needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to move on to the weekend's games now, just gone. Obviously, starting with the Raiders at home on Saturday night. Unfortunately, I went on comms. We had the wonderful Tim Lyons on comms with you, Connor, didn't we? Yeah, I believe I
Man of many
listened in.
talents is Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But obviously, going in there, storming the game 10-4. First two periods were just electric, really explosive, some really great goals. Obviously, probably took the foot off of gas a little bit in the third period because obviously the game was done and dusted. I mean, you know, it was sort of like it was just a really, really good performance overall. What were your takes on it?
Yeah, similar. Second period, we were great. I don't know if they kind of looked a wee bit short in numbers, but you know they are a good team. Obviously, we had a really tough night down in their place last time we played them, so we kind of really were looking as that as like you know we've got kind of we owe them one really, and we did that. We came out first period and we were flying. But, you know, obviously we scored a lot of goals. I don't know how many Emmy scored, but he was banging them in. He's always flying around like he always is. But yeah, no, it was good team performance for the first two periods. Obviously, the third period we did kind of slow down a little bit. They had a few power plays and stuff like that, but you know that's going to happen when we're so kind of far ahead. But yeah, it's just kind of work. There's always things to work on. We just need to work on playing a full 60. But yeah, no, pretty much a good game. Obviously, we give fans a lot of goals to cheer about. So yeah, all in all, pretty good.
I say, when you talk about that game, Jody, I just want to ask about the guy at the opposite end of the ice to you, but Michael Gray. Of course, you know, some people, you know, maybe don't know a lot about, you know, the Raiders side or about Michael Gray might, you know, be giving him, you know, a bit of stick after that. But first game between the pipes, I think in about 3 years for a guy, how tough is that? You know, I think he'd been called upon at very late notice. I think Brad Windebank was hurt, Ethan James was ill. And I say, did still pull off some pretty fantastic stops at the other end, you know, despite the fact it's conceded 10. There was still, you know, a few little worldies in there, robbed a couple more goals.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, not playing for 3 or 4 years, however long it's been for him, it's going to be hard, especially coming in like a team. We are pretty good at home. You know, we don't lose many home games. So it was always going to be a hard. Obviously, it's a long bus trip as well. So kind of adding all those things together, it was always going to be a tough night for him. But yeah, you feel for him when it's kind of the score gets up to like 9-10. It's tough for any goalie to kind of see that. But yeah, no, he did make some great saves at the time as well, which could have made the scoreline a lot worse. So yeah, hats off to him for sticking in and battling all the way to the end of the game.
I was going to say, we mentioned similar on commentary, both myself and Tim. You know, hats off for him to sticking out on the ice because, you know, I think at the time I didn't actually know that Brad Windebank, you know, was hurt. I thought he was maybe just resting him. But, you know, when the score does start getting run up, you know, 6 and 7, you're thinking, you know, they're going to make a change. But, you know, he stuck it out. And, you know, one thing that I tipped my hat off to him right at the end was as the Raiders player skated off, he actually was the only Raiders player who came and give a bit of a fist bump to. I can't remember which Seahawks player's family it was on the bench, but a bit of a fist bump to those, you know, to those on the bench. And I just thought, after you've had probably one of the worst nights of your life in the between the pipes, to come and do that was just a touch of class. You know, so I've got to tip my hat to Michael Gray there. But yeah, moving on to Peterborough, of course, you know, with our closest rivals in the table. You know, we sit fourth, they sit fifth. We've had some very, very good games against them this year. The season series was split at two apiece going into this game, and I'll be honest, I thought as I only caught this on the stream, but for it was a very tough first 5-10 minutes. You sort of really weathered the storm.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in Peterborough. Obviously, we learned that in the first game of the year. They come out hard. They always do, and their rink especially, like it's small. They're right on top of you, and you know that I think that's part of their game plan. They come out fast and they try and make it difficult for you. And you know we played really well defensively. Obviously, we gave up one goal, but you know can't always be perfect. But yeah, no, on the whole, that first period was pretty much great from us defensively. We got a couple of chances. We took them. And we took a lead and we just kind of built from there. We just took our chances when we got them and then kind of kept going from there. Yeah, Peterborough's always a hard place to play. They're a good team. They've got a lot of good forwards. Obviously, Luke Ferrara can score from pretty much anywhere. So yeah, you've always kind of got to be on your game plan there. But we knew going into it, obviously, we were fourth, they were fifth, and we really needed to kind of win that game to kind of cement fourth place as ours and put a wee bit of distance between us. So yeah, it was a big game for us, but yeah, we all came out and we all played really well.
I can say, you know, in terms of, you know, shots on goal, it was pretty even between the two sides for the first two periods. I think it was 13 and 12 and then 13 and 13, first two periods. But obviously you made those key stops. And then in the third period, you didn't have very much to do. Just four shots on goal. The guys out front were just sort of, you know, patrolling it, you know, controlling the game. You know, just really, you know, the game was, I don't want to say ended by the end of the second. So of course, it was only a 3-goal game at that point, but you just saw it out. You know, there's no panic whatsoever in a tough place to go. We have to mention it. Peterborough were probably down on a few bodies. Injuries, you know, from, you know, what happened on Friday night against MK, as you know, and a few other injuries out there as well. You know, they're doing it tough, but every team's done it tough in this league this year. You know, you can't really take that into account. You know, we've got to go out there, as you say, and secure that fourth spot. Although maybe in terms of the playoffs, fourth and fifth is probably no difference between it. But it's more the mental aspect of top four, ticking the box and looking ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was obviously one of Matty's goals and obviously our goals as a team to be in that top four hunt. Obviously we'd love to be higher up in the table. But yeah, definitely we want to be in that top four kind of group. But obviously we want to be class one of the top four teams in the league. So yeah, it was important that we kind of got a good win there, and we played well, because even though they were short of guys, but they still had a lot of good players on the ice. You know, they only had two of their imports, they still had a couple of their good forwards. Obviously had Ferrara as well. So you know, it could have been a completely different game had we not played as well as we did. Obviously shots were kind of 50-50 most part during the game, but you know, we were just kind of opportunistic. It was one of those games where we got the goals when we needed to, and that kind of just took the game away from Peterborough. And then, like you say, in the third period, we just kind of controlled it really well and scored a couple more, and that just kind of took the game away from them. And then by that point, it's just seeing it out the game, make sure that we don't get any injuries or do anything stupid like that, and yeah, just kind of cruise at home.
I think we will get to see them one more time at the Hollies Arena. I think Saturday the 23rd of March, that one. I think it's between the two cup final games. So you know, I say that might be the chance here to actually fully stamp the top four in the book. Do just want to talk about something else regarding the weekend's games, though. A lot of you listening might have seen a bit of a poll that I put online on one of the Seahawks supporters forums. Something new that we are trialing out this year, which is going to be a whole Seahawks supporters forum and behind the curtain sort of coexisting there to do a Player of the Week awards. I know we already have a club Player of the Month. We already have obviously end of season awards, but a weekly award just so people, one, can, you know, show their appreciation each week. You know, particularly, you know, some players do just have those standout weeks, and you know, sometimes maybe don't get the, you know, the plaudits they deserve. Also, we are going to use it as a system where, with sort of the three stars of the week, it's going to be a points table. So over the year, we can actually generate a Player of the Season award using your own votes throughout the whole season. So that's what we're going to do next year, and that's going to be with the official supporters club. So you know, it's going to be open to everybody until the end of this year. Then from next year, it's going to be one of the perks of you being an official supporters club member that you'll get to be part of that process of picking the Player of the Week, and then so be it, the supporters club Player of the Season at the end of the year. But we did put out a poll this year, this week, sorry. We had just under 50 responses. 50 fans got in there with their vote to the Player of the Week. It was a very, very tight one race, and I promise we've not fixed this because he's on the podcast. Just beating Emmy out by, I think, we did it on a 3-2-1 system, so everyone's Star of the Week got 3 points, or the gold, as we called it, on the post. Second star, or silver, got 2 points. Third star, or the bronze, got 1 point. And just beating Emmy by 6 points was yourself, Geordie. So, you know, pretty good to have you on this week. You've timed that one well.
Yeah, it's like you planned it perfectly. It's nice to beat Emmy, though. He's getting too many goals, so it's nice to tell him to be quiet for a bit.
And talking of one of those goals, so of course we've got to mention the guy has been credited with back-to-back hat tricks this weekend, which is pretty insane. I think he went 6 plus 3 on the weekend, Owen did actually edge him out on points. Yeah, I think Owen did 2+8. But with Emi's back-to-back hat tricks, I think he did actually say, we have looked back at some footage, and Emi might be talking some sense. He does believe Owen scored his second on Saturday night. I did congratulate him on the hat trick, and he said, no, he only scored two. at least he's been honest as well.
Yeah, I think for sure it was definitely subs that scored that one. But yeah, no, to be honest, both of them have just been a complete joke this weekend, scoring goals for fun. Obviously, subs, what he can do with the puck and the passes he can find. You know, if you can find Emil in a good spot, you know, he's never going to really miss from there. So it's, yeah, outrageous from both of them. But yeah, feel bad for the goalies that have had to face his shot this week because it's been going in left, right, and centre.
Yeah, I say a couple of times you just beat.
I think Sobs needs extra points for that spin alone. You know what I mean? That's oh my days. I've never seen out like it. Okay, what did you say off air earlier? What were we going to call it?
The sob spin. I
Connor?
think the
The
sob
sob
spin.
spin. Yeah, the sob spin. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's a thing.
put it on a t-shirt and that you'll be able to get a few ball for it.
I say.
That was just outrageous, the goal that he set up with that. It was just, yeah.
I think I saw a couple of the comments on if people have only maybe seen it from the stream footage or from your own view in the ring. If you've not gone back and watched it, go onto the Power Media Facebook because they've got a different angle of it, not from the gantry, it's from a handheld camera behind the glass at that end. And you can just see it clear as day. It's absolutely incredible. A couple of people, I think, who've watched it for the first time didn't even realize how we'd got the puck to Finn. We, you know, the first couple of times they'd watched it, you have to really focus to actually see how clever it is. And obviously, Finn's not going to miss from there, right on the doorstep.
Yeah, it just shows the quality that of the player that he is. You know, there's not many players that could really pull that off or have the confidence to even try. You know, so yeah, it just kind of speaks to how good he's been for us since he signed. You know, he's been a real kind of injection of life into a team that's just kind of made us obviously go on and be successful in the cup semi and obviously hopefully in the final as well on the playoffs and everything as well. So yeah, it's been great having him here.
Obviously, to give Owen another shout out, I think it was maybe Andy, I think, who put in one of the Seahawks forums this week. You know, they quite like the stats, and I'm trying to as many as I can in. But Owen's now on 32 points in just 13 league games, and I think it's 37 in 15 if you include the cup semi-final as well.
That's just outrageous.
Mental, mental.
If he'd been here the whole year, he's probably up there with some of the top guys in the league for points and stuff. You know, looking
I think
at
points per game is ahead of everybody who's played more than like five games. So.
yeah, I know it's been a real good combination for us. Obviously, I mean, Sobs are kind of they play well with each other. You know, Emmy's a goal scorer; he gets in the right position, and obviously, Sobs he's able to find Emmy, and he can also score himself. You know, I mean, he's got a really good shot. It's quite sneaky, you know. You don't really expect it because you obviously think of how good he is at playmaking, but when he shoots the puck, he can really shoot and it's accurate as well. So yeah, it's good. And it's good that they've both got both of them on the same line.
Obviously, I assume obviously through training drills you have to go up against that line sometimes. And when we're watching it up on the gantry, we just sometimes sit in awe and try and just really focus on Owen because it's very, very difficult to know what he's ever going to do when we're watching from up there. How do you try and predict what he's going to do? If you know, you, I'd say, and how hard is it for other netminders? Because at times he's looking one way, he passes the other, he feints a shot, he spins and goes. You don't have a clue. He's just a maverick.
Yeah, to be honest, at some point this weekend, it looked like we were on a power play with that line on the ice, with obviously Sobs just skating around, kind of giving passes. Obviously, him and Finn can both really move, so you know they were working well with each other, making space, and obviously Emmy was finding space for goals as well. So it is hard to read. You can't really try and predict what he's going to do because, like you say, if he fakes a shot and then he sees that you're cheating, then he'll just shoot it in the empty space. So it's difficult. I'm sure he's got me with a few in training, I'm sure, and I'm sure he'll get a few more goalies with some of the moves that he can pull off. It's just the control and the patience he's got with the puck. It's not like many players in this league, you know. Yeah, so some of the plays he can make are just outrageous.
We are going to move on now. We're going to talk about this weekend, of course. Big Yorkshire Derby's coming up once more. Will be the last time we meet Leeds before we will ex very, very likely play them home and away in the playoffs again. With the way that the playoff format works this year, Different to last year. We'll quickly recap it in case any of our listeners don't quite know how it's changed. Whereas it's going back to the older NIHL format of a round robin. Whereas last year it was just 1v8, 2v7, etc. This year it's going to be first, fourth, fifth, and eighth in one group. Second, third, sixth, and seventh in another. For each team, home and away, so six games. On the first three weekends of April, top two teams from each group go into Coventry. The top of each group will play the second team from the opposite group on the semi-finals on Saturday, with the two winners of those games meeting in the final on Sunday. And we've Leeds looking like champions-elect. With ourselves now, we've got a... It's a bit of a gap between us and Swindon, of course. You know, still a few games to keep pushing. But with a nice gap below to Peterborough as well, it is looking like we will, you know, probably secure that fourth spot. As you say, it's what we're aiming for. Would mean that we have to take them home and away again in the playoffs. But when you look back at these games throughout the year, Jordan, they've every single one of them has been fantastic games, bar the home game in maybe December. We'll forget about that one. That was a tough night. But yeah, even the 3-1 defeat a few weeks ago, you know, missing Tom Stubley, Lee Bonner, Bobby Chamberlain, Sam Towner were the four out that night. And even then, they required an empty netter to make a two-goal victory in the final seconds. We've really taken it to Leeds, and particularly on their ice, we seem to really match up well against them.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe as a team, we're slightly more suited to a kind of smaller ice pad. It's a lot easier for us to shut teams down. But yeah, no, it's a derby game, isn't it? So you always get up for them. They're big games. You want to beat your rivals. Obviously, they're the closest team to us, so it means a lot more, obviously, for the guys that are from Hull as well. So, you know, yeah, we've been playing well against them. We like playing against them. We feel like we match up good, you know, kind of our style of play, their style of play. And they're always good games, you know. That's what you want. You don't want games that are, obviously, it's great when you win 10-4 and 7-1, but, you know, over the course of the season, it's the games that are close and you're like, you know, that was a really good game that kind of stick in your mind. So, yes, it's going to be a good weekend. Hopefully, we've got two back-to-back games that are going to be really good, and hopefully, we get a win in both of them, because, you know, we've done it before. There's no reason why we can't do it again. But yeah, they're going to be gunning for it. They don't want to lose twice to us again. So,
no, absolutely, no, I totally agree with you there. But speaking about your performances against Leeds in particular, obviously, especially the cup semi-finals, you were absolutely on point, or absolutely on fire, saving absolutely everything in the penalty kills, everything, you know what I mean? How do you feel it's gone for you against like the team that's flying high top of the league?
Yes, I mean, pretty much every game apart from the one at home that was 5-0. But yeah, no, I like playing Leeds. I like playing against Leeds. You know, I've played with and a lot and against a lot of those guys before, so I kind of know kind of what they want to do, but obviously that doesn't make it any easier to try to stop them. But yeah, it's just I like playing in games that have got a bit of edge to it, a bit more kind of on the line, obviously, like rival games or games that kind of mean a little bit more. You know, it's, you always get up for those games and it's a lot easier to play. Obviously, Leeds is a really loud rink. Our place is a really loud rink, so it's easy to get up for those games because you know the fans are going to be right behind you. We're going to have a lot of Hull fans in Leeds as well. So, you know, it's nice to hear them chanting in that corner because they make a lot of noise when they go. So, yeah, it's good to hear.
No, certainly so. And as I say, the win in December as well, absolute wall in that one. And then, as Martin alluded to, the semi-finals, including the semi-final down at their place that created a bit of a meme online with the lovely gospel flag that they've got up there in the castle as well. Only Jesus saves more than gospel, but apparently Jordan McLaughlin does as well. At least a few of the Leeds fans who saw that one took that quite well. I think it was a nice little touch online. But yeah, I see big games against the Leeds Knights. They're, you know, I think they're only a couple of games now from securing the league title. Not too far. And I say, they've got no cup final to play for. They're playing for a double again. They're just looking to stay informed, stay hot for the playoffs. But of course, you know, we've got every eye on the cup final. Those games against Leeds have had some needle in them so far. We've just got to obviously play hard, play our game. You know, there will be a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing, but just keep our heads on, do the business.
Yeah, we've just got to be smart. You know, obviously, Leeds, they're the best team in the league for a reason. They can score goals. They They have that kind of nasty edge to them as well. And that's what makes them such a difficult team to get to beat and get past. And obviously they've got Gospel in there, who, you know, is the best goalie in the league. He's I know people have different opinions, but for me, he probably is the best. And yeah, they're just a well-rounded, solid team, and that's it's going to be hard. But you know, we've got a cup final coming up, and against the second place team in the league. So you know, we've got to try and build momentum. We've got to go into those games playing well. Obviously, like you say, being smart, keeping our heads, not doing anything stupid. But yeah, but playing hard. Well, we have a physical team with guys that play on the edge. So you know, we need to play like that. We're not going to win games by just being like kind of soft and not hitting and stuff like that. We need to be physical. Like, we know that works against them. So, you know, we need to just kind of go with our best foot forward and take it into the week's head, because, you know, every week from now going towards the cup final is massive, because we're just building more and more momentum going towards it.
No, certainly so. Of course, thinking about keeping your head, of course, there was a bit of an incident in MK and PW's game last Friday that could have consequences for the MK side. You know, NHL Dops will be having a look at that, you know, this week, you know, whatever comes of it. But I say it's an important few weeks to keep momentum, get into a, you know, a really good run of form, but also just to keep, as you say, keep our heads. Last thing I do just want to touch upon, Jordy, is something that was actually, you know, well publicized probably in January time, quite a while ago now, but we've not had you on the pod to really talk about it since, and that's some work you've been doing with Colin Grubb. So Colin Grubb might not be too well known to a few people. Obviously Martin Grubb maybe, but yeah, so Colin's actually a net mining coach, isn't he, and a net mining consultant, and he's been doing some work with yourself.
Yeah, so yeah, he's a goalie coach over in America, and he worked with a team over there, but he's doing like goalie consultancy as well to try and kind of move forward with that as a career. So yeah, me and him have been talking kind of every week on Zoom, kind of similar to what we were doing, going over games, kind of like video. Obviously, I get sent my instat every week from our games and how I've done. So we kind of go through that together, and we kind of talk about, you know, different scenarios where I could have done better, or what things I've done good, just giving me different options for how to go forward, how to be better, and obviously some drills as well that I can work on myself, just kind of to be better, because that's obviously what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to be better and better every week. And obviously, it's kind of hard sometimes when there's a coach that doesn't really know goaltending. It's a kind of completely different position, in terms of like how you kind of need to read the game and things like that. So having somebody who's got that experience, and knowledge in that kind of area of the game is helpful. You know, it's going to help anybody get improved their game.
No, as you say, it just sounds, you know, it's almost alien at times to sort of, you know, go out there and seek that consultancy, but also so obvious, and it's something that probably more players, you know, particularly in your position, need to be doing. Because, as you say, there probably is a lack of, you know, coaches that really understand the position, and sort of particularly, you know, there is probably, you're not going to have one in every club, are you? You really do need to go out there and find that expertise.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in this country, obviously, there's not that many goalie coaches going around. I know some teams have guys that they work with. I think obviously Clancy works with a couple of guys, and you've got a couple others that work or with other guys around the league. But yeah, it's important to have somebody that you know that you can talk to and ask questions, because you know we're obviously not at our top of our game yet. You know, we want to get better, and there's always an area to improve. So that's what we want to do, try and get better every week. So yeah, having conversations with people who know their stuff and know what they're talking about and can give you that advice, that's kind of what you want to do.
No, certainly. So when we had Matty on the pod just the other week, when I think it was the day you actually announced, you know, you had re-signed, obviously Matty said, you know, you're still young, mid-20s, goalies aren't at the peak of that age, are they? You've still got a hell of a lot to develop, and you know, I'd say all these different scenarios, eventually they'll just be, you know, eventually you've seen pretty much everything. You know, goalies tend to reach a peak, you know, late 20s, even early 30s.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like you say, goalies prime normally isn't until they're kind of later on in their career, when they are a bit more experienced. And it's like you say, it's mostly just down to experience and understanding different situations and where you need to be, where you need to position yourself, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I've got a lot more. I know myself, I've got a lot more improving to do. And it's something that I want to do. You know, I want to get better. I want to try and improve and be as best I can. And obviously help the team win in any way that I can as well. So yeah, just trying to keep getting better.
I'd say, considering how good he is at the moment, Martin, it's pretty frightening to the opposition, but exactly what our fans listening will want to hear.
Oh, 100%. That's what everybody wants to hear. No, it's great that you take the time out to try and do your best to improve on what's already a great performances that you're already putting out there. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, it's exactly what everybody wants to hear. It's incredible, really.
And I say, is that just going to be a, is that a continuing thing then, Jordan? Obviously, that consultancy says, has it got a time limit on that? Is that, or
No, not
what's the
particularly.
deal there?
I've worked with Colin for quite a few years. I coach it. He used to do a summer camp in Dumfries for goalies, so I used to coach at that. So me and him know each other pretty well, and we've got a really good relationship. So obviously that helps as well. That, you know, I'm close with him, and I know him really well. So I know I can go to him and ask him for advice and rely on him, and he'll be there to help. But yeah, no, there's not really a kind of time limit on it. I'll be able to kind of speak to him, you know, when I need to. And obviously, if he gets a job somewhere else in a different team and that things change, then obviously that's something we can work out later down the line.
Yeah, it's just hope none of the clubs in our league decide to poach him. but that's pretty much all we've got time for here on Hull Seahawks Behind the Curtain. It's been a fantastic episode. Really, really enjoyed this chat. Got to say, Martin, first of all, thank you very much for joining us once again. I'm sure I'll see you on the gantry on Sunday for Yorkshire Derby.
Oh, you certainly will. No, I can't wait. It's been a pleasure to be here as always. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one.
I've got to say, thank you very much to our number one guest. We'll go out and say it then, Jordy. We'll get you more than a mug next time. I think a little. Where? What are we going to brand next? That's the question. We've got the mugs. I've got to say as well, the last ones were bought off the merch stand this weekend. If you want more, let us know. But yeah,
Yes, the other fans love it.
Exactly. You know, buying
Need to
too
get
many of
you and
those
Barton's
mugs.
signatures on them now. Like, oh, stop signing for the fans and
Be a
stuff.
meet and greet outside the gantry next week. Just you wait.
Yes.
But that.
See how big the queue is.
I can guarantee there'll be no queue. I can promise that.
I'm just gonna
I'll be. I'll make sure I understand.
Oh, well, that's fair enough. That's all you need, isn't it? Yeah, I'll do that.
Johnny, thanks very much for taking the time out of your evening to join us.
Yeah, not a problem. Anytime.
And hope you've enjoyed episode 32 here of Hull Seahawks Behind the Curtain. Make sure you like, follow, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, whether that be Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, and also make sure you are joining in with our new weekly Player of the Week poll as well. Make sure you know you're at the rink Sunday evening against the Leeds Knights. Let's get this one filled to the rafters. Get your cup final tickets bought as well, and we'll see you next week for episode 33 of Behind the Curtain.